The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. What a difference a week makes. Last week, Monday and Tuesday, were moments of high tension around here. Excitement and expectation were everywhere as we awaited vicarage and call services. And then when those services were over, massive confusion descended upon all. Especially if you were there, I know you know what I'm talking about. The immediate aftermath is candidates, faculty, district presidents, family and friends poured out of the chapel. It was mass confusion. People trying to find each other in order to congratulate one another. Pretty soon it was so packed you could hardly move, could hardly talk to anybody except the person you were standing next to, and you weren't always sure who that was because it was dark. So for a few moments there, it was really confusing. Well, that was last week. This week, all that's over, right? No more excitement. You know where you're going. No more confusion. All your questions have been answered. So it's back to the books and to studies. Term papers, reports. We're going to put our thoughts of calls and vicarages just right out of our minds until the term is over. Right? Well, maybe not. Tension levels, I'm sure, are down, but there are still a lot of unanswered questions, a lot of uncertainty about the future. And even for those students who did not receive assignments, the events of last week demonstrate vividly just how brief the seminary experience really is. It's practically over before it starts, for it is simply a stepping stone into the largely unknown world of vicarage and then call. But in a larger sense, isn't this seminary experience as we've lived it the last few weeks a metaphor for life? Long periods of routine interrupted by intense periods of excitement, tension, confusion, and uncertainty. All the while, whether calm or confused, we are stepping forward into an unknown and unknowable future. Yes, that's life. And therefore, one of the things that we are always looking for is a little stability, for certainty, a place to land, a place to belong. Again, this is one of the particular challenges of the seminary experience. You have to uproot yourself to come here in the first place. And no sooner do you start to feel as if you are at home than off you go to someplace else. And I'm sure that a lot of you are hoping and praying that your call, when you finally accept it, will result in being in a place that you can call home for a long, long time. Well, perhaps. And I certainly hope so for those of you who are especially looking for this kind of stability. But from the standpoint of the human condition, it really doesn't matter how long you've been in a place. For stability is not just a matter of geography, it's also a question of time. And though we may have some control over where we are, we have absolutely no control over the passage of time. And we live in a world that is always changing. And the change that we experience, even if we are rooted in exactly one place, the place that we love, the change that we experience is, over the long haul, change for the worse. Now, of course, there are always instances of improvement. Things can get better, and I trust that better is what awaits all of you in connection with call and assignment. But the general drift of things, the direction of things over the course of a lifetime, is downhill. For we live in a hostile world complicated by the twin realities of our mortality and our immorality. Death and disease, accidents, misfortunes of every kind can strike without warning. Not only can, but inevitably will. Robbing us of health and strength, of loved ones, of life itself. And at the same time, and all the time, we are living self-centered lives that alternate between overweening pride when things are going well and the poor me syndrome, oh, I don't deserve this, when things are going badly. And in either and every case, we live as if the world revolved right about us, when in point of fact, it does not. The result then is that not only do we live out our days in a fundamentally hostile circumstances that lead only to the grave, but we live them in the worst possible ways, stubbornly and stupidly trying to reorient the universe to ourselves instead of to God who made it. No wonder then that human lives are filled with fear and frustration, with wickedness, with woe, with sadness and despair. So that all too often, that little phrase, "that's life," really means "that's death." What a blessing it is, therefore, to hear once again in this morning's scripture reading the antidote to all of this, to this instability and change, to this sin and death in the Christian church. "You are no more strangers and foreigners," wrote the apostle, "no more, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." In a world that is always changing and in lives that are always hurtling into the unknown, God has provided a certain home. He has provided an unfailing family in the Christian church. By calling us out of our self-centered lives by the gospel, by remaking us in the Spirit, by clothing us with Christ himself in our baptism, by all of this, God has put us into a place that cannot be moved. He has given us a destiny that time cannot erase. He has imparted a life that never ends. And these are eternal realities. They are absolutely reliable because they do not depend upon us one little bit. For Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. Not you, not me, but Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. And in the scriptures, in the apostles and the prophets, we have an infallible foundation for living in a world of change, and for dying when God calls us into heaven. By this word, Christ's life, death, and resurrection become ours for eternity. Now, by raising up men like Philip and James, whose memory we celebrate today, God made sure that what Christ had done would not be forgotten, but instead would remain an ever-present reality in the lives of those who believed their words. They became witnesses to the truth of the gospel. They became instruments by which God would build his church. But God continues to call men into that ministry begun with the apostles. We saw that last Tuesday. And that means that he continues to build his church. And that means that he continues to incorporate people like you and me into his family. No matter then if we are far, far away from that place that we like to call home. No matter then if time is catching up on us and even threatens to overcome us. It doesn't matter. Not one a little bit. We need not fear the change, the confusion, the uncertainty that threaten. Not at all. For we can rely without question upon God's unfailing love in Jesus, because God's word promises it. Through faith in him, we are the church, a sure dwelling place of God through the Spirit, a firm and eternal home. That's what we have. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.